Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello.
What's up, man? Devin, what do you got for us this week?
If all men were to bring their miseries together in one place, most would be glad to take each his own home again, rather than take a portion out of the common stock.
I don't know if I fully understand what that's implying.
Well, I will enlighten you because I've thought about it ever since I've heard it before and I liked it. It's basically saying, for one, don't complain. Your complaints probably aren't as bad. There's always someone worse off than you, right? So if came together with everyone in the world and compared your problems, you would gladly go away keeping your own, because the majority of people on this earth have it a lot worse than you. I mean, obviously, it depends who you are and where you live, but usually the things you're pissed off about or anxious about, you would gladly take it back with you if you were to see everyone else's problems.
Right. But I also think that it may... there may be some like familiarity that we have with our own problems.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a problem, but you also have learned, you know, most problems we have are things that we've had before, right? So it's like,
maybe
you understand it, unless it's a completely new problem, right? Then who knows? Like, you might take someone else's problem, but you have like an issue, something that you've dealt with before, you understand it, you're kind of comfortable with having to deal with that problem.
Yeah, maybe.
And maybe that comfort level, you like when you, you know, pulling from a stock of tons of, you know, everyone's comforts, you don't want all these random, you know, a portion of everyone else's, you're maybe comfortable with your own. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean,
it's basically just saying be thankful for what you have. There's always someone worse off than you. You would, instead of taking from the general misery of the world, you'd probably just go, you know, it's probably not that bad. This little
I'll take my problems. Yeah, right, exactly.
So I was thinking about that because this has been a very stressful week. We already had some other things going on that were stressing out me and my wife, and then an opportunity came up for us to get a dog, and we've been looking, and her aunt had a litter of golden retrievers, or English cream golden retrievers, and it kind of happened out where someone said they wanted one and then they didn't, and it gave us like a second chance to, you think we should, maybe we should, you know, we're talking about it on the way home, and by the end of the ride home from where we were going, she was like texting her aunt and talking to her, and we had kind of made the decision. But we had been thinking about that since our last dog, Gomer, passed away. You know, you always think about it. And and especially, and then you guys got two dogs. And I was like, man, you know, they've already got dogs. And we just felt like we really want a dog in the house. So anyway, we ended up getting our new dog, Alfie. He's, I guess, 9 weeks old. But he's getting like fast when he when we first because we went down to meet him, right? Because you can't take him right. until whatever 8-9 weeks, whatever it is.
Right.
And, you know, he was barely, you know, like stumbling over grass. You know, that's how you know how small he was.
Yeah, right.
And like he couldn't run. He, and they can barely like look up. You know, they're kind of like staring at your feet and looking down. Right. And but just tonight when I got home from work, I was running around with him and he was like right on my tail.
Oh,
and
nice.
So I was like, wow. And in a week, he's going to be passing me. But so we said to ourselves, our daughter, she's been so good that. We can take on a puppy and all the things that go with it, right? Because you right, gotta yeah. you gotta crate them in the beginning and you gotta try to get them used to it, but you also want to get them up every 3-4 hours just so they can get their bladder so small and you can get them used to not going in their crate and then going, you know, right. all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which doesn't come with a rescue, so go rescue dogs, people, because it's right. much nicer. they come ready to go. So we got the puppy, and then right away, my daughter got pretty sick. I walked in, I heard her crying at night, and I just walked in, and, you know, there's vomit everywhere kind of thing.
Oh, man.
And yeah. she's just heated up and really hot and has a fever, and so that went on. That's gone on all week, and we couldn't figure it out, and... We don't have to go too in-depth, but we figured out that it was an ear infection right. now, yeah. and so there's definitely relief there, but this yeah. whole week it's been trying to get the fever down, cleaning up vomit, giving her cold baths to just bring her, and we didn't know what it was, you know, and that's the worst part,
right?
And you yeah. can't help them, and they're just kind of laying on you, like, you know, they're yeah. pitiful.
And you can't reason with a, you know,
right,
baby, you
right.
know, you can't, you know. You can't be like, it'll be okay, you know? Yeah, like, yeah, it's, yeah, there's no reason. It's just... it's
like, in 30 minutes, you'll feel better because the right. Motrin right, will kick exactly. in. They don't really yeah, get yeah. that. And they're, you know... But it's been rough. And then at work, for those who don't know, I do sports production. So I've been at... I work for the baseball team, Baltimore Orioles, and they've been on a losing streak. And... It's been raining, so it's been these long 4.5 hour games, 5 hours, when they normally should be like 3. That's the average for a baseball game.
Right.
So I've yeah. been getting off and, you know, I'm getting home late and they're losing, and they still lost. They lost tonight. So that's 6. That was the whole homestand. They lost every game, and pretty geez. Much everyone was way over time or was delayed for one reason or the other. So just...
Right.
I couldn't get anything done. Then when I came home, it was my wife was doing this, or I'd take the puppy out, and then, you know, we'd have to right. wake my daughter up in the middle of the night. And every 3 hours, we were trying to give her Motrin, then switching to Tylenol, then yeah. Motrin, because you can do each of them every 6 hours, but you can right. interchange them to help keep it
every
down.
Every 3, right, exactly.
So yeah. we've been doing that, and then basically doing the same for the dog without, but just letting him out. we were just so beat. And luckily, finally, some relief today, finally figuring out that it is an ear infection, and we got some
right.
antibiotics in her, and hopefully that should knock it out. We're crossing our fingers that
yeah,
in, you know, today or tomorrow. That usually works pretty quick, but yeah. I've just been so tired and so stressed.
yeah, it's... I mean, having, you know, just having two dogs, like our two dogs, Luna is 6 months and Toby is a year. And, you know, we didn't have to deal with any of the puppies, like the real little puppy stuff, but there's still, you know, puppy stuff. And just having two dogs and having to, like, deal with them all the time and figure out, you know, what to do with them and take them out off, you know, there's just, it's just always something, you know. But
yeah.
it's not the, like... It's not a brand new puppy and a baby. you know,
like, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We, you know, we thought about it. Should we? But we're like, yeah, we want to do it. And but, right. you know, our whole thing was Maeve is such a good baby. She sleeps through the night, blah, blah, blah. We can deal with just the puppy. And then sure enough, the night, right, we, exactly. like basically the night we brought the dog home, she got all sick. I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go. But she's,
so where, you know, where's Alfie?
Right now?
God. Yeah.
He's in his crate. I can see him. That is one good thing, right? So count your blessings. He is really good in the crate.
Right.
He basically cries for 20 seconds, a little bit. Just a little bit of a whimper. And he lays down, and he's asleep. And he does... That's one. Yeah, we're like, oh, thank goodness. We can put him in there. And then we have a camera, too. We can check in, you know, away from home. And we'll point that down. And every time we check in, he's sleeping. He's just chilling. So he doesn't have that much anxiety, which is really good because we have a neighbor. You know, the last thing you want is them barking for however long you're away, and then your neighbor wants to kick him next time he sees you. You know.
Yeah, Luna doesn't really like to be in the crate. I mean, neither of them like to be in the crate, but she'll like whine and bark. At night, when we first brought her home, at night she would like whine and bark for like 5 minutes. And then now she doesn't anymore. Now at night when we put her in, she'll just go in and lay down. Like very rarely she'll do a little yelpy whine thing, but not much. But during the day, anytime we leave during the day, when it's like not crate time, you know, they're like, put them both, because we put them both in the same crate. So we just put them in and we'll go to leave. And she's just like, yelping and barking and yelping and barking. And I don't think it lasts too long though, because today we left, Corinne and I. So my wife was at work, and Corinne and I went and met up with some friends at a friend's pool for a couple hours, and we put them in the crate and left. And I realized I'd left my what was it? Oh, my book. I wanted to bring with me, but I left my book in the house, so I had to go back in the house. And it was like a minute and a half later. And as I was walking back over to the house, it was quiet. I was like, they actually stopped. She stopped barking. You know, like that was pretty quick. And I went in, and she didn't make any noise or anything, so.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I guess that's one good thing about having the dog from little puppy age.
Right, yeah.
You can hopefully make them comfortable with, that's the whole goal of, right, the training. It's only training their bladder in the crate, because they won't go where they sleep, usually. But it's to get them comfortable with it. So, during the day, we'll play with the dog. In and out, put them in there, leave the door open, throw something in. It's not like a "ha, gotcha" every time they're in. So he has actually gone in on his own and laid down and napped while we're all here with the door open. So that was like, yes, that's what we want. We want it to be like, hey, this is your spot, because hopefully in a couple months we'll remove the crate and just have his bed there. And then he'll know, all right, this is my area. And, you know, we like to have the dog with us when we sleep. We don't let him up on the furniture or anything, but eventually he'll be probably in our room or whoever's, you know, just laying on the floor. Yeah. That's usually, that's how we did it with Gomer. But,
That's good. I wonder, like, because I'm thinking, you know, I don't know. Toby doesn't ever sleep on the beds that we have. Like, we have the dog beds in the house, and he doesn't sleep on them. He just lays on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, we have this big one for him, and he doesn't ever sleep on it. Mm-hmm. Luna loves the beds. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if we take the beds away, because there's like a, you know, a bed in the crate, or it's like, mm-hmm. you know, a squishy bottom, like that she'll lay in there. And she does. She'll go in there during the day. She'll like go in and sniff around and stuff. So she's not like afraid of the crate, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and occasionally she'll go in there and lay down and then, like, pop up and come back out. But but I like that idea. Because when we had Sadie, when we first got her, she was crate trained. But that was that same situation where there was just, like, the bed in her crate. And she was always really good with the crate. And same thing, like, right, she would go in and out and she would lay in there. And then eventually we just got rid of the crate. Or we, you know, like, at night we'd leave the door open. And she'd just go in and lay in there because it was the bed, you know?
Right.
And she always loved getting up on couches and stuff. So we would always put like chairs, you know, kitchen, dining room chairs or whatever up on the couches so she couldn't jump up. But,
Yeah. I've read, that's a good idea, though. Looked at plenty of puppy stuff and general stuff.
Right.
And also, my wife, she worked at a vet or a kennel place when she was, I guess, right out of high school or something. So she thinks she knows everything. But she is a good point of reference for that stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I have to be like, well, I read She's like, no, we're not doing that. I'm like, I'm just saying what I read.
Yeah.
I watched this YouTube video. It's got a couple million views. I'm just saying.
You know what they say.
This guy looks what he looks like. Looks like he knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah. So I can say something about. So how's Alfie with Maeve?
Well, that's another thing. He's good, but he's still a little puppy.
Yeah, right.
And he nibbles. But we've also done pretty good already, and we've had him for a week, of getting him not to bite, right? The goal is that his teeth doesn't touch a human or their clothes. Right. That's where you want it, or at least that's where we want it. Obviously, when you're playing and they kind of have their mouth open, you know, that thing, then you know, that's different. But they're never going to bite down. They're never going to try to do it when they're playing. That's the goal. And he's already gotten pretty good. Like, he already kind of knows. We can just kind of go, and he'll, like, start to lick. But in the beginning, he was just going, and she's right at his level. They're the same height, you know, when she's sitting. So he goes right for her face, and then he nibbles on her ear, and she gets a little... But she's gotten better, too, because she was
been sick, too,
She was afraid of him when he'd bark, because, you know, it's, like, out of nowhere. Bark, bark, you know, and she's just like... And it kind of freaked her out. But she's gotten better. They're both learning.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's cute. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, you know, like, dogs and little kids is always, like, my biggest fear. You know, I'm like, you know, like, I just can imagine, like, getting bit, you know, or having a dog bite a child. It's just, like, that's the worst. You know?
Yeah.
And so, like, having, like, we had Sadie, you know, before we had Corinne. So Sadie was, like, 2.5 or something when Corinne was born. And she was always really good with Corinne. But there were times where Corinne would, like, fall on her or, like, you know, like, you know, mistakenly. And Sadie, just being a dog, you know, it's like, I don't know. There were a few times where she would, like, growl or something, and then I'd have to be really, like, forceful with her. Be like, no, you know, like.
Yeah, you gotta let her know.
That's, like, never an option, because she would never do that with adults.
Right.
But, you know, adults also don't really do that thing, you know, where they, like, fall or, like, grab their face or something, like, mistakenly or whatever, so.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's tricky. So that's another good thing about having them both. They'll grow up together. Exactly. They're used to each other right away.
Yeah, that would be really good.
But, so, it's been a crazy, stressful week, but as far as it goes, I will take my lot back and not scoop the pot of everyone else. I'll have my soup. Yeah. It's not so bad after all.
Yeah, and also because, you know, like, you can see a, like, an end in sight. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, like, Maeve's not going to be sick forever, and, you know, and Alfie's not going to be a puppy forever, you know?
Right, so it's
like, you know, there's like the prospect of these things changing and getting better, where a lot of people have issues in their lives that there's no prospect for change. You know, it's like, this is my issue and this is my problem, and it's just going to be this way, like, forever, you know? Like I've got no, you know, like, my parents are dead and I'm like an orphan and blah, you know, things that'll never change, you know, like no prospects to get your life better. So, like,
in the words of Paul McCartney and then John Lennon, Paul McCartney wrote the line, "It's getting better all the time." And then John Lennon wrote, "It can't get no worse."
Nice.
So that's their, that you can see their personalities. It can't get any worse. But yeah, so anyway,
cool.
It's been a crazy week, but here we are now. We're doing it. We got stuff going. I've been editing a little bit when I could in between. I've had a few spots to edit this dang Sling video and get back on track. We have a lot of stuff done, but man, we're really, you know, you take a vacation every week. I've decided to get a puppy. And every summer we have more free time, but we always slow down.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly.
We're like, we got all this free time. I'll be home, and it's just like, no, we all have things to do.
It's yeah, exactly. It's like different time. Like I have, you know, during the weeks are off, and I have like weekdays. You know, we can film during the day. Okay, that's fine. But then, you know, then like summer is vacation time. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess we were on a good roll. Like we had, you know, we had a couple videos under our belt, and you know, we're rolling. So.
Yeah, and we're still ahead. We almost have our third million view video.
Oh, nice.
You know, let me pull it up right now. I've been watching it. It's one of the Bo videos, I think.
Oh, is it the new Bo video? Because I think the new one passed the old one, I think.
Well, I think, yeah, the new one's already hit it, I think.
The American Flat Bo.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, you know, we... For getting things done, you know, we've been working on the toy box video, and there's like some, we're like working on the problems through that and stuff, but we do have, you know, the leather sling video is done and recorded, you know, so while it's nice having something, I guess it's nice having something in the bank, you know, like if we're like, we feel like we're working on a new video, but we're not depending on finishing that project before we can edit and move on. Obviously you can't, but you know, like there's something there behind it that
right.
still we come out, you know,
right.
project done. Yeah.
But, yeah, we got, okay, yeah, it's not, it's 999,536, so we're almost, and that video actually has slowed down a little bit. It's funny. You can have one sitting at that, course. But it goes slower than some of the others, but... Yeah, that one's coming up, so that'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the circular saw blade knife. Man, that one's just still rolling. It was funny. That one, like, it didn't do great right away. And then mm-hmm. I forget which. I think it was, the three knife sheaths video when that one came out. Then that, like, the circular saw blade knife, that video then took off. Yeah, because that one has a 1.2 million.
Which one is it? Oh, yeah, yeah. That one.
Knife from a circular saw blade, yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah, that one like took off randomly.
You never know.
The fire pit has 800,000. Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay, before we go on, I have a little mini quiz. I was looking up some famous blades and stuff, and I was like, I was wondering if Dustin can guess them by their description. I'll obviously leave out the words that would give it away.
Okay.
Some are real, some are fiction. I don't know how many you'll get, but let's keep tally. Mm-hmm. Let me see. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay. So you said some are real and some are fiction, as in, like, some are from real makers and some are, like, from movies?
Yeah. 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 Okay. Something like that. Okay. So we'll see how many you can get out of 8. How many do you think you can get out of 8?
I'm going to say,
not much context, but
I'm going to be positive. I'm going to say I'm going to get 5 out of 8. So more than 50%. Okay. I like knives.
Okay. All right.
So I'm going to go with that.
Now, obviously, actually I won't give any tips. I'll just go ahead with it.
Okay.
Let me read a little description.
All right.
Well, okay, well, yeah, some of it gives away too much, but here we go. This sword is reforged. It was cut from someone's hand. Elrond gives Aragorn the sword.
Okay, yeah. So do
know,
I need to...
You know, you need to know the name
the
of
name
the sword.
Of the sword, the final sword.
Right.
The final sword is called Anduril, Flame of the West.
Oh, you nerd. I'm taking away a point for knowing too much. You've known too much.
You're taking away a point. Yeah. I even knew the name and the meaning.
In Elvish, it's...
Andoriel, Flame of the West. No, that's funny. So did I mention that I made a wooden sword for Corinne? So Corinne asked me recently, she said, can you make me a sword? And I was like, okay, sure. She's, mm-hmm. you know, almost 12, and she's like 10 feet tall and, you know, built like a muscle, you know, a bodybuilder. No, she's tall. She's taller than Nicole now, and she's a full grown child. Mm-hmm. Obviously not like mature enough to have a sword on her own, just, you know, but I can make one and do like exactly right. Yeah. I can make, you know, make a, like a machete sword like I did for the pirate sword. So I made her a prototype, a wooden prototype. Like, here's a, let's see if this feels like it's the right length, blah, blah, blah. And it was made out of a piece of crown molding. Mm-hmm. Just like, I had like scrap crown molding in the shop. So I kind of just cut that down. And, crown molding is like finger jointed together, random pieces, you know, and then they paint over it. So if you get it pre-painted, you would never know that it's not just all one piece of wood.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's perfectly fine and strong enough. And it, but it did kind of crack and then break at one of those joints on the blade broke. Mm-hmm. And it broke like a third of the way up from the guard and kind of at a diagonal. So it looks like the shards of Narsil when like that broke. So like, so we've been joking about that. And actually, she and I went back down to the shop and we glued it back together. We used like some, the cyanoacrylate, like 2P10 super glue and glued it back together. And then it broke again. So, but we've been joking about it. It's like the shards of Narsil. It's like, it needs to be forged back together to be Andriel, Flame of the West.
Now you have to lay it down on a little blanket with all the shards and just leave
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, good. Good start. Wow, I really hit on a good nerve there. You knew all about it.
I did, too.
This one's going to be a lot tougher. So you got 1 out of 8. Good start. Okay.
Yeah.
This massive sword, which would physically be impossible to wield in real life, belongs to a soldier. His weapon of choice in this video game.
Okay, let's see. Sword too large. I'm thinking like, is there like a sword, is it like Elder Scrolls or something that they have like a giant sword?
There are a lot of swords in that, but no. Yeah, I don't think you've ever played this game. That's why I didn't think, but it's a famous sword, so I figured I'd throw it in there. It's an RPG.
Oh, okay. Is it Final Fantasy or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It's looked at me. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a, yeah, you've probably maybe seen it if you've ever like, yeah,
big giant sword.
Yeah, the big kind of, like, it's like, it's a like rectangle real wide with
blade
a,
is, mm-hmm. Yeah, yep.
That's okay. Called the Buster Sword.
The Buster.
Right. Final Fantasy VII. Famous Buster. Video game sword. That's the only, well, actually I won't say anything. Okay. All right. So
all right.
1 out of 2.
Yeah. I should get like a half point for that though. Why? You did tell me it was like,
because I told you it's a video head. Game.
Yeah, you did, and you I guessed Final Fantasy though, so but that's okay.
You did.
I'll take a zero. Sorry.
Okay.
I didn't know like the name. I know you kind of were, that was kind of the goal, right? Get the name of it.
Mm-hmm. This is another tough one.
Okay.
The legendary sword boosts the fighting prowess of the wielder. It's stolen, and this person learns to unlock its full potential. It's from a movie.
Okay. It's stolen.
The problem is I don't know if they ever mentioned it in the movie, but I figured you might know. It's called The Green Blank.
Oh. Is it the, one of the, like, not Chow Yun Fat, but, like, is it, like, the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, like, one of those swords?
Yeah, yep, it is.
Yeah, yeah, the green, yeah, like, that, like, it's got, it's, like, it's funny, those, they love having, like, wobbly swords in that movie.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They're, like, yeah. Whip out and slap you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got pretty good.
Yeah, I got the movie.
You got the movie again. That's pretty good.
Like, yeah, I was thinking, like, the prowess and, I was thinking that, like, in that genre, I guess. But then when you said the green something, I think that's what really, like,
right,
it hit me in that genre. That, like, that there were, like, what was that, in the 2000s or something, there were, like, 5 movies in a row within, like, mm-hmm. 2 years that were mm-hmm. all that same, like, genre of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon movies.
Right, right. It's called The Green Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I probably could have got that.
So
Green Destiny.
That's one and two. Okay. Perhaps the most famous version of this sword comes from its 1981 film. Someone pulls something from somewhere.
Yeah, I was going to say that's Excalibur, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as you said that, 1981, I was like, that's probably like that version of Excalibur that like Adam Savage loves.
Yeah. I was going to say it's from the movie Excalibur.
I was thinking Excalibur before, like, you were like, someone pulls something from...
Yeah, you're like, oh, yeah. It has to be. That's nice. The only one. Okay, right. Cool. Two out of four. You got a half right. Yeah. And probably another half point.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. This legendary swordsmith initially refuses to craft the weapon until he learned why this person wanted to use it.
Ah. This would be Hattori Hanzo making Uma Thurman's sword in Kill Bill.
Yeah, yep. Very good. That's
I don't think
a
name for that.
It doesn't have a name. I think they call it the Hattori Hanzo Katana.
Ah, gotcha. Hanzo sword.
Hattori Hanzo.
You've got a Hanzo sword?
She also used it to violently dispatch Bill's lieutenants, as well as the crazy 88 Yakuza gang.
Yeah, she did. I like it when when she's fighting the crazy 88 and she like chops that one guy's sword up. Like I think it's when they switch to like a shadow scene, like through the screen, you know?
Yeah, the
you
red see all their, like, silhouette.
Profiles. Yeah. She's like, joink, joink, joink.
Yeah,
I guess maybe that isn't like when you see him again, but he's like holding like shaking.
Yeah, it's when they switch the light on and he's there shaking and holding it up. And she says, chung, chung. She says, go back to your mother. Spanks him with the sword.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, what a great movie.
Yeah, right.
Okay. This is a perfect cheap multi-tool.
Is this an actual blade now?
This is a real life blade.
Okay. Like with a name or a company?
I cannot say.
Okay. A perfect cheap multi-tool. Is it Leatherman? Like, that would be a multi-tool. It's either Leatherman or if it's just called a multi-tool because it's a knife. I don't know.
I mean, that's about as good of a guess as you can give, but no. Another fact is MacGyver used it on a show.
Oh, Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
Ah, yep. Dang.
Yeah, I know. That's like the other one. That's the big one, you know, the cheap.
Yeah. It's funny. For some reason, like, I couldn't get... Yeah, multi-tool is like... I was thinking, like, Mora, and I was thinking, like, other cheaper knives.
Right. Kind of the modern multi-tool, you think of as, like, a Leatherman or something like that. Right. But the original, or not, maybe not the original, but, you know, the one we all know.
Yeah, that, like, yeah, all the tools in one.
Is the red... I guess I'll give you half a point if you know the company name.
Victorinox.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so I think, let's see how many I got left. Okay, two left.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I thought that was six.
First designed to address both field and utility needs of soldiers and Marines.
The M3?
No.
First designed for soldiers and Marines.
I know we did the one on the channel, but it's the other famous Marine knife. This 7-inch blade can pierce your torso from near any direction and reach something vital.
bayonet or something, or
seven. Mm-mm. No.
I can't think of any other like military named knives. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh boy, K-bar.
Mm.
Yeah, the K bar.
Yeah, I thought like K bar was a brand name.
I mean, I think that's that's what they called it after.
Yeah.
But who knows why they named it that? And I'm sure probably someone made money off of it, just like someone made Jeep after, you know.
Yeah. Right.
K bar.
K bar.
All right. Yep.
That's a good one.
The last one is. Well, that gives it away too much if I read that. This blade,
okay,
alerts its wielder.
Alerts. Ah, so there are probably more blades that alert the wielder than just the one that I'm thinking of, but I'm thinking of Sting, Bilbo Baggins' sword and Frodo's sword, because it tells the wielder when there are orcs and goblins nearby, glows blue.
That's it. There you go.
All right, yeah.
Yes. Frodo was bequeathed Sting from his uncle Bilbo Baggins. The short sword, which was created by the elves, glows blue when goblins are nearby, alerting his wielder to impending danger.
I know, I was going to say, like, that is the one that obviously is named. And there are other ones, I think, that, like, in the Hobbit movies.
Yeah, they have, like, yeah, other ones. And
yeah, I think, what's his name, has like, an elven sword.
Yeah.
That, like, Legolas, like, takes from him for a while and then gives back to him.
Those movies were rough.
Yeah, Corinne and I watched them this week. Like,
you're like, eh, all right. Like,
killed time. Monday, I think it was. Yeah.
Okay, so you got Andril. Buster Sword, you did not get, but you got the game.
Right.
So I'll give you half a point.
Okay.
The Green Destiny, you did not get, but you got the movie.
But I got the movie, right.
So I'll give you half a point. Half a
point for that, okay.
Excalibur, you got.
Yep.
Hattori Hanzo, you got.
Uh-huh.
Sting, you got.
Okay.
K-Bar, you did not.
No.
Goose egg. Swiss zippy. Army knife, you got.
Yeah. I got it after I got, I like said Leatherman first and then.
Oh, that's true. So you didn't get it.
And then I guessed Swiss Army. So that would be like half point, you know. Because I guessed Swiss Army before you like. And then I got Victorinox, right? You're like, I'll give you a half point for Victorinox.
Okay. So out of 8 points, 8 total possible points, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5.5 points.
5.5. Yeah, not bad.
That's not bad.
Not bad.
Oh, that's a passing grade.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I said, I think I'll get 5 out of it. Because I was like, I was going to say 6, but I was like, yeah.
Good thing I didn't bet on it.
Be conservative. I know, right? I thought you were going to ask me, like more, like, specific knives, like Loveless, you know, like, as a knife designer.
Oh, real.
Draw Point Skinner.
Yeah, real brands.
Yeah, right. And, like, Jim Bowie knife and stuff.
Yeah.
And
see, I didn't know enough about those. So I just, like, I just went, like, cool knives from things.
No, that was
like,
good.
From pop culture, basically.
Yeah, yeah, no. That was
so
that was
it's, good. You know, it's going to be fantasy and military, and yeah. That's about it. You know, those are the things you'll remember that name their blades in the movies, you know?
Right. And I assume you might have, like, the tracker knife in that, but that one might have been too easy.
I did think about doing
Tom
that.
Brown,
yeah, like the
yeah.
Tom Brown stuff, and maybe next time. Maybe we'll go more into depth. This was more a pop culture knife quiz.
It was awesome when we had James from James Keaton from Redbeard Ops. And we were like, how did you get into knife making? And he was like, well, I watched this movie called The Hunted. And I was like, yes, that's so awesome. The tracker knife. That was like how, that's like when
I
into knife making too. I was like, it's so funny. That's great. Forging and the blade like out in the like, you know, near the river with a bio.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what a great, yeah. And James is a patron now, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
of the channel and podcast.
Awesome.
So thank you, James. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Awesome. But yeah, that's that. And so what have you been up to, Dust?
So this week, let's see, last weekend, what did we do last weekend? I feel like there was something that I was doing. I don't know. But, was it Gov Cup last weekend? No, that was 2 weekends ago.
Yeah, you already, we already told that story.
So last Saturday, so last weekend, my wife was actually away with, two of our good friends, like wives. We have like the three families, us and then the Porters and the Greens. And so like the three wives, they all went on a weekend trip and went and stayed in a little cabin, just the three of them. And, so it was like the husbands and the children who were around. And, so Saturday morning, a couple weeks ago, I was kind of rolling through Facebook Marketplace and I found a listing for a yard sale. And had a bunch of pictures, and it was like a ton of tools and stuff. This was, and it was kind of close to us here in northern Baltimore County. So I reached out to my buddy Sean and was like, this is funny. It was really early one morning, maybe a week and a half ago. And I'm like, hey, you know, look at this listing. It looks really cool. And I sent him the listing, the Facebook listing. And he like sent me a message back. He's like, are you interested in the, like the table saw? And I was like, well, I'm kind of interested. Or he's like, what are you interested in? Or the table saw? And I was like, I'm interested in everything. You know, it's a big yard sale. I would just want to go. And so I said, yeah, it's a yard sale on blah, blah, blah date, you know, like 8/7 or whatever it was. And then like he texted a few more times, like back and forth. And I could tell he wasn't getting the idea that it wasn't like a single thing that was for sale, but it was like a whole yard sale. Yeah. But I didn't know how to text it to him like real concisely in a way, so I just gave him a call. I was like dude, it's a yard sale in like 2 weeks. And he's like it's early and I haven't had my coffee yet, and like Alistair's crying and all this stuff. He was like he like couldn't focus enough to like look at it. But so that yard sale was this past Saturday, and it was awesome. It was this like barn, giant, like multiple rooms shop that people had, and they were kind of like selling all the stuff and like super, super awesome sale. So we got some really good deals. I actually bought a disc grinder. So like with a variable speed controller on it.
Oh, nice.
And so it has a 3/4 horsepower power motor with a variable speed controller attached to it. And I originally bought it cause I was like, well, I can just switch out my motor on my grinder on my 2x72 and then have a speed control. Right, because that's like the biggest thing that I'd like to have, is to be able to slow those belts down and like do different types of sanding with slower speeds. So I may still do that. I may still switch it over, but with my grinder, the motor that's on my grinder now is bottom mounted, and this motor is face mounted. So it's like, as opposed, you know, so the motor sitting like sideways and mounted on a surface, as opposed to where the spindle comes out of the motor, it's mounted on that face. That's face mounted. So that's what most grinder motors are, face mounted like that.
And for those who don't know, Dustin has a Generation 1 Revolution grinder.
I do, yeah.
From Gen Housemaid.
1. Yeah, from Brian House.
You have the original Iron Man suit. Remember when he busts out of that cave? That's what you have.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, man, that's crazy too. Yeah, because I think before the one, I think Brian had built two before he built the one for us for the channel. It's crazy. So, but yeah, but and he like specifically custom made that mount to be able to face mount, to be able to bottom mount the motor,
right,
that I already had. I had the you know 1.5 horsepower
right,
motor.
Right. You told him, hey, can you make this work? And he made it. Yeah, specifically made for that. But now you're kind of stuck with a.
Yeah, right. Now I have, yeah, exactly. Now I have like the option of putting in a, you know, a face mounted motor, but I don't have the face mounting system. So I got to figure that
send,
out.
Send it back.
Yeah, right. All right, Brian, what are you going to do for me? So yeah, I'll figure that out. Either that, or I'll just use it as a, you know, a disc grinder, which is nice. You know, nice to have a disc grinder too, you know, really good for knife making, and, you know, it's still variable speed and stuff. So maybe I'll leave it on. I'm not exactly sure yet. So I got that for a really good deal. I got that for $50. I forget what, I think the woman said like 75 and I offered 50. She was like, sure. So got that. And then I was kind of walking around and I put a little piece of paper on it that said sold. And then I was kind of walking around and picking up random stuff and putting it near it, you know, like right next to it, kind of creating a pile. And I found an arbor press, like a small arbor press. And that for an arbor press is basically like a, you can get like a, you have an arm and it swings down and you're basically pushing like a metal cylinder. Usually it's square and it's on, it's got like teeth on the side. So you're like, as you're pushing the arm down, like in a drill press, you know, you kind of swing the arm down, and it pushes the spindle down, but it's usually a single arm. And, you know, depending on the leverage you have, you can put in, like, there'll be like half ton presses or one ton or 10 or whatever. You can get giant arbor presses, which are really nice for any type of stamping, any type of riveting. You know, you can use arbor presses for that type of thing, which I was like super pumped about because they are not cheap. Like little arbor presses, like from Harbor Freight, are like $75. You know, it's right. Like it's just this cast piece of metal with an arm and like a geared thing that like push. So I like saw it was under this bench kind of hiding, and I saw it and I grabbed it. I was like, oh, this is so awesome. And I offered the woman $10. She was like, sure, no problem. Put it with my stuff. And I was like all around for a while. For the next like half an hour, I was like going, looking through all this little stuff, grabbing all these little things, like because there was tons of hardware. It was basically like an entire shop, you know, multiple rooms of shops that the entire, everything was for sale.
Nice.
So, you know, and just like hardware and clamps and wood and just everything. So I was walking around for a while and put it down. And then at one point I walked out and into this other section and came back like 10 minutes later and the arbor press was gone. I was like, no. So I was like, crap. You know, it wasn't that long. It had only been 10 minutes. Like everyone that I'd seen there, all the guys wandering around and stuff had been there like the whole time. Like no one was just going in and grabbing one thing and leaving. You know, it was like people were going there, were like, this is an entire, you know, like multiple room shop that's all for sale. So I'm going to wander around and just poke around and everything for a while until I, you know, until I'm satisfied. But I couldn't find it. Like, I walked around everyone. I'm looking at everyone's hands, like, looking at piles. Like, if I saw someone carrying it, I would have just said, like, hey, that's, I've already offered money on that. That's mine. Like, I've already, you know, theoretically, yeah, it's already sold to me. You know, I've already quoted a price, and it was like, yes, we'll give you for that price.
Right.
But I couldn't find it. Man, I was so bummed. And, like, I even talked to the woman about it, and, like, I was like, okay, I'll put it here, blah, 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 and
did you talk to her?
Yeah, it's an arbor press. The woman who was actually selling stuff, yeah.
But did you talk to her after?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you say? I was
like, did you see the arbor press? I was like, I've been looking for it. I don't know if someone grabbed it. And she's like, I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, because she was also, like, they were really willing to sell stuff. So it could have been, like, someone was just throwing it in a box. And, like, then it was like, hey, I have these things. Can I give you $50 for this box of stuff? And she's probably like, sure. Right. You know, like,
because
that's what I did later. I just had, like, a bunch of stuff in a box. A bunch of little things, like hardware and, like, four cans of map gas and glue and sandpaper. Like, tons of stuff. And, you know, offered up a price. And she was like, sure. So, but, yeah, well, I was bummed about that. I was like, no.
Now you know.
Arbor press. Yeah.
That lesson that, you know, you paid for that lesson.
Yeah, exactly. There was this one guy who was kind of walking around for a while, and he had like a table, and everything on the table he was like collecting. And I was like, he was kind of quiet and like doing his own thing. And like a lot of the other guys there were kind of all talking and looking and stuff and, you know, like excited about stuff. And, you know, you know, someone would offer like the woman a price on something, or they'd ask her a price and then she'd walk away. And then, you know, the rest of it was like, oh, you could probably talk her down to blah, blah, blah. You know, like she was willing to make really good deals. But unfortunately. So I was like kind of thinking that guy had it, you know. So then I tried to like befriend him a little bit and be like, talk him up a little bit about it. And be like, man, and I can't believe someone snagged that. And he's like, I know. He's like, yeah, that's tough, man. He's like, you know, you got to keep your stuff. You know, you got to keep an eye on it. You got to make sure you blah, 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 whatever. I was like, man, someone sneaked away with my arbor press.
He's like, yeah, I took it from
like,
you.
It was like underneath a table and behind a thing. And like, I looked under it. I was like, oh, look. I grabbed, reached under and grabbed it. I was like, yes. But
Corinne there?
She was there, yeah.
Well, she has a new job.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can pick one. Like, you can pick one thing from here. But you have to guard the pile.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. There was like there. So Sean came and brought his two sons, and, you know, his young son is only less than 2 years old. So he was carrying him, but then Emery was there. So Corinne and Emery were playing, and also David was there, Brian's, the Green's son, and they were all playing, running around outside and stuff with other kids that were there. So they were no help, but yeah. So yeah, so I got that. I got the, you know, a bunch of stuff, and you know, got a really good deal. And Sean got a drill press, a 16-speed like floor pedestal drill press, and a machinist vice that was on it for like a super super good deal.
Nice.
And then he also got a pedestal grinder, like a bench grinder with the two wheels on either side. Got a really good deal on that. So he came away with like good score. So actually I texted the woman on like maybe Tuesday, and because there's no way that they sold everything there, you know, I was like, it was so much stuff. So I texted her, I was like, hey, just wondering if, you know, if you still have stuff available, if I can come by sometime and just poke around some more and buy some stuff from you.
Right.
And she's like, well, this Saturday there's someone coming back at 10:30 to get something specific. Like somebody wanted to come back and pick something up at 10:30. She's like, you're welcome to come by then. She's like, I'll be posting some stuff individually, but you can also come by. So, cause there's like drawers of hardware and just so much stuff, you know, it's like my shop, but like four times as much stuff. You know? Yeah. So you imagine there's stuff everywhere, you know,
you need like a couple, or like you need to bring in like a milk carton that has a sign on it, like sold items. Right.
And that's
the
thing. I had a box later. Like that's what I did later. There was a cardboard box that was just like laying around. So I grabbed that and started putting stuff in it, you know, and then that I like put a sign on top of that said sold. So it was kind of that.
There
point
you go. Yeah. Well, like, oh, yeah. Like you said, you paid
for your
lesson.
Too late then. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I mean, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but next time you go to Sean's shop, just take a look around. See what you see.
I had to carry, I transported a bunch of his stuff back to his house because he didn't have, he had his car and I had my truck. So, like the drill press and everything.
Is that an Arbor press in your pants or you just?
He's happy to see me.
Yeah, hey, he has some hard steel.
Yeah, so I started looking up Arbor presses and stuff. Like, man, they're so expensive. But I've been thinking about getting one for a while because it would make, like, you know, doing rivets and snaps and stuff for leather work. You could do it really easily, and doing leather punch stuff, so not having to like hammer it. You can just like push it down in, like what we did when I did Crin's initials on the leather sheath, the sling, the axe sling. I used the drill press to press those in. So that's basically like the same action as that, as a regular drill press, but it's an arbor press. So,
right.
Next time. But yeah, I'll be going back on Saturday and hopefully getting some more stuff. A good deal. We'll see. There was a lot of wood and stuff there. Not like any, you know, not like exotic stuff or not like fancy stuff, but just a lot of wood, a lot of 2x4s and a lot of big like chunks of different types of wood. So I might actually try to pick up some wood to
So where to is it? You don't have to give away the exact place, but is it how far away from your house is it?
It's like not even 10 minutes from us. It's south on Delaney Valley Road.
Oh.
South of me. It's north of the bridge over Loch Raven, but south of us. So it's in
and
between.
You're going 10:30?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Saturday morning.
I'll come with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe I'll come with you. Yeah, I got the Ravens coming up on Saturday as well. But
okay, that's right.
That's why I have to be there until 2. And that's another thing, again, about complaining. Oh, my gosh, this time of year, everything hits at once. Football, baseball, and college sports. I'm scheduling it all right now, and it's just piling up. But
so I do have a new thing that you'll appreciate. So I got that mini fridge from Drew. So our brother Drew sent out a text to us saying, like, hey, does anybody want this mini fridge? I've had it. It's got to go and see if anybody wants it. So I got it, and it's like the perfect size to fit where the table is that holds your gear when you come to the shop.
Nice.
So now instead of a table being there, it'll be a mini fridge being there. So we'll have beers and stuff in our mini fridge.
Hey, I like that.
I know. I was like, and that's why I was like, I wasn't sure if I'd be able to put it somewhere in the shop. And I talked to Sean. I was like, I'd mentioned it to him, and I was like, well, I'm gonna try to put it in my shop, but I was like, but if I can't find a good spot for it that doesn't take up too much room, I was like, do you want it? And he was like, yeah, I could do that. And, you know, he was thinking about moving his, they have a fridge freezer, like a full thing out in there in his shop that he wants to move to the basement because in the winter the shop gets really cold. And when it's cold outside, the compressor doesn't kick on the freezer. Mm. So it like just stays, you know, the things will like thaw and stuff in there. So, but Yeah, so he's thinking about moving that that big fridge to the basement in their place, and then, you know, having a mini fridge. So we'll see if it's annoying or if we don't end up using it, if we don't use it that often, whatever. Then, and I'll just move it there. But I was like, that's cool, man. Get a little mini fridge in the shop.
Yeah, we'll stock it up.
Just keep a little stock of beers down there. Yeah, exactly.
I'll bring a 12 pack or something, and we'll just keep it.
Yeah. That'd be cool. So I didn't actually measure the spot, but I had the mini fridge out in the smithy, and I was downstairs kind of looking around today and doing some other stuff in the shop, and I looked around and I was like, that looks like that's probably the perfect fit, like right there. And it'll actually be a little bit taller than that table, so I think it's going to line up with the table that's right next to it too. So
cool.
Just right.
Good.
And we don't
deal.
You know, I use that space underneath the table just for random cardboard boxes and stuff for mailing and shipping things, and it doesn't need that, you know, that can be put somewhere else. It's not a good use of space, so.
Right.
Now that'll be a better use of space. But yeah, so doing that, so that's what we did last weekend. And this week, I've just been, like, pretty much just chilling, you know, getting prepared to go on vacation next weekend and working on a knife for my wife. So I talked to her, and, like, she's been saying that she wanted, like, a little fixed blade knife that she can use for normal everyday stuff, you know, opening boxes, whatever else, going out to the garden. Like I had made her a bigger knife, like a backpacking knife, hiking knife, but she wanted a smaller one because we made the small one for Corinne, and she really likes that size. So I've been working on that. So I did like the initial grinding on the bevel on the blade, and then heat treated that today. And I actually was talking to her. I was going to try to do it as a surprise, to try to get it, like, done before her birthday, which is the 18th, which is when we'll be on vacation. But I also wanted her to be more, I wanted her to contribute more to, like, the main design of it, because the handle, I have, like, some silver birch that we ordered from Russia or something. It took, like, 3 months to get to
got it right.
So really pretty pieces of that, which is like traditional puko handle material, and then she wanted like a turquoise, so we got some maple burl that was dyed and stabilized turquoise. So I had that, and then so that'll be like a quarter, that'll be the guard area, so the first quarter after the blade will be that material, that turquoise maple burl, and then the last three quarters of the handle will be the birch. And I was thinking, like, maybe I'll do a brass bolster and then a brass liner, you know, line between the two, because it's going to be a hidden tang knife. So, like, separating the different things with brass, or, like, maybe white G10, which I thought that would look nice, too. Like, white against the turquoise and then white between the, like, kind of golden, you know. So I was talking to Nicole about it, and I was like, what if I send you, because she was like, well, when you're ready to do it, just, like, show me what you have and we'll look at the options together. I was like, what if I take pictures of everything that I have, or at least the main handle materials and stuff, and I send it to you, and then you can kind of, like, I'd send her, like, the drawings and stuff, and then she can kind of just Photoshop in the different pieces. So I did that today, and she, like, Photoshopped together the little, like, it was really cool. So just, like, send me a thing. She's like, look, I haven't started. So she sent, you know, just, like, kind of masked out the area in Photoshop, and then was able to drop in the different, like, patterns and stuff of the pictures of what I sent her, so to be able to, like, kind of put it together and we'd see what it looked like. So
nice.
Kind of cool. Yeah. So that, I've been working on that, and I'm trying to, I did the heat treat tonight. So that's all the heat treat and the tempering. So that's done. So then tomorrow I can start, putting some of that stuff together and getting the handle material glued up, so then I can get it in and shaped. So I may be able to get it done or close to done before we go on vacation. We'll see. But she's been asking about that since we got the material. It took a while to get in, but then, you know, I was always busy doing something, so.
Yeah. Right on.
But the shop's been, like, it's, I think I may have mentioned this last time, but having, like, a big furniture piece on that table, it takes up so much room in the shop. You know, it's like, I don't have anywhere to work, because that center table is my workspace. You know, it's always, like, you know, everything else, all the other surfaces usually collect stuff, but that one stays pretty clean, so I have a clean space to work on. But that, having the toy box on there is taking up some space. But it was more just, like, everything around it, because the amount of other stuff that was on the table is normally what's there, but then also, you know, like a toy box that takes up half the space. So
right.
I had to clear everything else off and just put stuff away and clean up some, and then I had, you know, like, half of my bench, which is still, like, 4 feet, so that's plenty, but gain some of that real estate back by cleaning up.
Yeah, we'll get that done. You get the pistons from Amazon?
Yep. Yeah, so I got those gas pistons. Yeah, hopefully they'll do what they need to do and work. And if not, then, I mean, I think if they don't work to do exactly what we want them to do, if they're not enough pressure to open that door automatically, then I think adding in one or two more spring hinges will do it. Like, yeah, I think that's enough, you know.
We might as well just go for two. Just space them out evenly.
Right, exactly.
Space them out evenly in between the two far hinges.
Right. Yeah, just boop, boop. Yeah, exactly.
And then see how close we can get, and don't know.
Make it work.
We'll try it.
Make it work. Yeah. Yeah, but that's been fun. What else? I'm still trying to, like, figure out all the projector box stuff in my head for the
We're working projector on that. We're going to get that done by the end of this month. Somehow we will fit it in and get it done.
I was thinking that. I was like, I might need to just, like, skip finishing the toy box and get that projector box done. We'll see.
Yeah, we got some deadlines to hit, but
Well,
we shall see.
Yeah. Freaking hot here. That's all. Oh, I have something to say though. So the whole, like, fiasco with the engine on our boat, you know, trying to figure out why the engine's not working, and then we got it working with just, like, we rigged it up to work for the Governor's Cup and it worked fine and whatnot. Well, we were working on it yesterday because we were supposed to sail yesterday, which is Wednesday, and there was a big storm that came through right when our races were supposed to start, so they canceled the races for the night. But we were all down there because we had the new lift pump, which, like, pulls the fuel tank, which sits below the engine in the boat. You know, you have to, like, because you're working against gravity, so you have to have something to lift the fuel up to the engine. That was kind of, we were pretty sure that was bad on engines. So we got a new lift pump, and Drew had it ready to go. So he was already bringing it down. So we're like, well, whatever, it's no problem. We'll go down, we'll all work on it together. We'll get that on, and then we'll see if the engine runs. Well, of course, it didn't work. We put it on. It's still the same issue. Like, we ran everything. So we, like, troubleshot our way back through the engine and then eventually found that, like, when we were because we had a little hand pump, like a bulb that you could squeeze going from our little temporary tank to, like, squeeze it in. So we were using that to, like, push the fuel through the system to bleed the system before we run it. And we realized that as we were pushing fuel from the tank into the primary filter, the main filter that goes through first before it goes up to the lift pump and then the secondary filter, it wasn't, like, pushing through. Like, we'd get enough and it'd fill it, but we couldn't push it through. So I ended up pulling off the hose that comes out of that filter then goes up to the lift pump. I just pulled it off the housing, and then our buddy Justin, who sails with us, he was squeezing the ball and nothing was coming out. So, like, there was fuel being pumped into the filter, but nothing was coming out of the filter. There was, like, a clog or something. So we took the whole housing off, unscrewed it from the boat, and took it up to the top because it was, like, 1,000 degrees down below, and I was sweating my ass off. and we take it all apart, and we blow into the in spot, and, like, you know, Diesel, like, Justin blew into it, and Diesel, like, sprays all over his face because it's, like, it goes through and blows out the out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Blows whatever little bit was there, And then he blew in the out, and then same thing, like, perfectly fine, air came out of the in, right? So there was, like, a even passage through. So, like, what the heck? It's going fine. So then we put it back together. It's got, like, a metal housing on top, which then the filter, the round filter, sits up into a gasket from below and sits on that. And then there's another piece that goes down below, almost like a big hamburger, right? So metal on top, metal on bottom with the filter in the middle.
Okay.
Squeeze it together. And then there's a long bolt that goes through that holds the bottom piece, the bottom metal piece, and squeezes that filter in between. So we put it back together, and we go to blow in it, and then, like, he can't blow anything through when the filter's on.
Right.
So we're like, what the heck? So then we take it all apart. We're looking at the filter. We're like, well, why is now when the system's sealed, you know, and the gasket's sealed, why can't we push any air through it? So we're, like, looking at it, and on the top of the gasket, on the top of the filter, there's a hole in the middle, which is the outlet hole, because that's where, like, fuel goes down. It goes through the filter into the middle of the filter area and then back up through and then is pumped to the engine. So we know that that's, like, that is sealed with a rubber O-ring, you know, so that way the you know, clean fuel doesn't get mixed with the dirty fuel. So we're like, okay, well, that's where the fuel comes out, but where does the fuel go in? And so, like, around, you know, let's say it's a three inch round filter. So there's this kind of quarter inch gap all the way around the outside, and then like a lip, a metal lip that goes all the way around, and that metal lip seals up into a gasket up into the top part. Well, in this little one inch gap all the way around, there's another gasket. So there's like a black gasket in there that's sitting down in, and we're like, okay, well, if there's a gasket there and there's a gasket here and this comes together, well, where, how does the fuel get into this filter? Like, there's no other holes. It's metal on top with just a hole in the middle, which is the outlet hole. And we're like looking at it. And so I pull out another one of the filters and I look at the other filter, a brand new one. And in that quarter inch gap all the way around, there are three holes, like three big holes, you know, on like on the thirds, you know, like a triangle.
Yeah.
That is where fuel goes in. And there's no black gasket in that space. So we're like, that's where the fuel goes in. So like, why do we have a gasket on this one? So literally it was just us, like one of us, and we've all switched out filters a bunch of times because when we got the boat, the engine was like, the fuel was dirty and we had to, you know, run a bunch of filters a bunch until we got it running really clean. So we've all done it a bunch of times. So one of us at some point, like, pulled out a new one, fitted a gasket into that space that's not supposed to have a gasket, but there's a gasket that fits perfectly into it. And every time we sealed that whole unit, we were basically sealing any way for the fuel to get into that filter. Because it was just like pushing the gasket and sealing it super tight so fuel couldn't get into the filter. So when we were running the engine, the engine would run for anywhere between like 3 and 20 minutes. But that's because it was just burning the fuel that it was getting in the system. That was like from, that was already in. Because every time we would put, you know, do everything, we'd have to manually fill that filter up full of diesel, clamp everything tight, and then, you know, so basically it was just emptying that filter, running it up, running what was in the other filters, and just running. So we were like, so we pulled the gasket out and, you know, put a little knife in there and cut it out, pulled it out, and then closed it all up, turned the engine on, it ran perfectly fine for like 40 minutes. So we're like, all this time, all this headache and like all this stress that we've been dealing with trying to figure out this engine is just like, it's just bad luck. Like, this space looks perfectly. And when you get like filters and you get gaskets, they almost always will send you at least one extra of the things you need. Right. So it's like, you get the filter and they'll be like, if you need two gaskets and like one O-ring, they'll send you three gaskets and two O-rings. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause they always like, those don't cost much. Mm-hmm. So they usually send like an extra one. So we always have like extras, and it must have just been like someone's like, okay, we'll change this gasket here, we'll change this gasket at the bottom, and then here's this other gasket. Oh, we'll just put it into this space that looks perfectly the right size to receive a gasket, which is not supposed to have any gasket in it. So, yeah. But yeah, well, we figured after like hours of dying down below, and the storm came by, so it was like hot and sweaty and like humid in the boat. And but
we so got it. So when you. On the Governor's Cup, on your way home, you said you were hand pumping oil. How did it get through the filter if the filter was so well sealed?
Because we were bypassing that primary filter.
Oh, that's right.
Because there are two filters. It's in a system that goes from tank to primary filter, then a hose goes up to the lift pump, then a hose goes to the secondary filter.
Okay, yeah.
And so we bypassed the lift pump completely. We just had the fuel going straight to the secondary filter, which filtered and then goes right into the engine. So we bypassed the whole system. So,
well, a mistake in the system or whatever you're working on is the best way to learn, because you really figure out everything else around it.
Right, exactly. As Justin said, he's like, well, you know, and because I had mentioned, like, if we had someone who was a diesel mechanic come and look at it, which we had talked to a guy to come, but he wasn't able to do it before the Gov Cup because he was on vacation and whatnot. You know, those people know the typical issues, right? They're like, okay, check this. They know the things because they've done it 100,000 times before, right? And you fix things, you always know the little things that people don't see because you like, those are the things you look for first because they always go wrong first.
Right.
But that thing that we did wasn't really, like, if a diesel mechanic would have pulled that off, they would have looked at it and said, your gasket's in here. This is blocking up your fuel. Like, they would have seen it right away.
You don't need a gasket here. Why is there a gasket in here?
Right. Yeah. And so I was saying that, like, Jack and I were talking about that, saying, like, yeah, you know, if someone who knew what they were doing came down, we'd probably be able to figure out this issue really quickly, because they would diagnose it and figure out all the little things, which is probably what one of these things is, right? You know, and then get rid of all the little things and then go into the bigger things, like, okay, are your injectors clogged? You know, is your fuel, interior fuel pump, is that running? Blah, 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 blah. So, you know, it was like just and then Justin was like, yeah, you know, we could have had that, but you would have not gained all of this like knowledge and right. you know, intimate relationship now with your engine. I'm like, true. Oh, well.
Yeah. That's true. A little bit too intimate. All right.
Yeah, memorize all the different, like, you know, bolt head sizes and whatnot. Like, yeah. But that was really good. So we didn't get to sail, but we did successfully figure out our engine problem.
That storm was nasty anyway. You didn't want to.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, that was one of the nights that, you know, we didn't start the game until way late because of that.
Yeah. Oof. But out of that, yeah, you know, it's been a pretty good week and kind of nice and relaxing. And Corinne and I have been just hanging out at home. It's been so hot outside, so we've just been kind of chilling in the house with the dogs. And I've been reading a book, reading a lot.
Nice. So we're going to try our best to get one out before next week since you're going on vacation. But again, we're both busy, but we're going to do our best to figure out a day. I don't think we'll miss one, but.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We should be able to record again before I leave. And, you know, and if not, then we may miss it. But most likely we'll be able to figure out sometime, either, you know, Sunday or Monday or something.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. All right, recommendations. I'll start. We've been watching, my wife and I, The White Lotus on HBO, which is really good. Kind of this weird, dark comedy, but it's got a lot of people that I like. It's a little strange, but I'm liking it. But after it, I think after it. But anyway, every Sunday it's coming out, this six-part series called... I think it's just 100 foot wave. It's about a big wave surfer. Garrett what's his name? Garrett. His last name's weird. Anyway, he visits Nazare and he finds out that this place has these huge, like the biggest waves in the world.
Right.
But it's just so nasty, and you got to go in the winter. It's in Portugal. And you got to, like, it's super dangerous, and these waves don't really break the way other ones do. But it's this really great documentary series. It goes back to, like, 2012 when they first started going there. It was just him and his girlfriend or his wife at the time and a few people. And it's this thing where, you know, you need someone to tow in and all that. And it's a really great documentary series. So I think the last one comes out Sunday. Garrett McNamara. There you go.
Gotcha. Okay.
And, yeah, it started out like no one ever had surfed there to now. I think it's a big deal, but in the series, I'm only to like 2018. But
yeah, I saw that as I was like, you know, on Amazon Fire, you know, like flipping through stuff, and it always has little pictures and like previews and stuff. And I saw that 100 foot wave. That looked cool.
Oh, it's real good.
The other documentary, it was the one that came out like in the early 2000s. I forget what that was, or maybe like
the big like, wave surfers.
Yeah, something like that. The one with all the like the famous guys, and they went to all the different places. But that kind of reminds me of the guy from like that surf Mavericks up in Northern California.
Yeah, he's, I mean, he's done that too. It might be one. Yeah,
yeah. He like same thing. He had to like wear a wetsuit, and he was like sailing surfing there for like I don't know 10 years before anybody else knew about it. It was like, crazy.
But no, it's a great series. Really good. So awesome. Yeah, that's it.
Cool. So my recommendation is actually Instagram page called at @ny_shedantlers. So we talked about last week on the podcast, we talked about getting the doing the Frontier buoy, you know, doing like, it was funny because as we were talking on the podcast, we were kind of figuring out, it's like, oh, how about this? That'd be kind of cool, you know? And so now I'm like definitely into it. So, you know, doing like a spring steel handle, I mean, a blade, and then like a railroad spike guard and then a stag, you know, like antler handle on it. So I actually, when I was right about to hit 5,000 subscribers or 5,000 followers on Instagram, I posted a thing that was like 490, whatever. And JD Custom Knives reposted my, my post and said like, hey, you know, like posted to his followers, like, this is a great guy. Like, go ahead and follow him. Let's get him to 5,000. So New York Shed Antlers, NY Shed Antlers, reached out to me and was like, hey, I followed you because I saw, like, JD suggested it, and I'm really happy I did because I love your work, blah, 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 you know, and, like, and I'm also a an antler dealer, you know, in New York, and he gets, like, naturally shed and, you know, antlers from all over the world, a lot from, like, Europe and stuff. So I reached out to him and got a couple pieces of stag that are coming, one with, like, the crown, which is where it attaches to the head, and that'll be, like, the end of the handle for the
right.
for the buoy. So I'm really excited about that. But he's got tons of awesome stuff, so he's a supplier for that type of material for antlers and natural material and stuff. So if you're looking for that type of thing as a knife maker, I actually got a couple extra pieces from him because I want to do like antler handles that look more like the bone handle that I made for Corinne, you know? So like, I'm going to cut them down and make them into like knife scales that I can flatten. So they'll have that kind of interior creamy white look to it, which I really like the look of that on antler handles. So yeah, I'm excited. So, it seems like a really good guy. His name is, Brian Morrison. And again, that's NY_shed_antlers. Yeah, he's got tons of stuff, and if you're interested, you can always send him a DM because he's got way more stuff than he posts on Instagram, but he posts pretty often with things that he has available. His prices, if you're in the U.S., his prices include shipping, so which is always kind of cool, you know? Like, you know, you're like, oh, that looks cool. I think I'll buy that for that $40 or $50 or whatever it is, you know? And then they're like, okay, well, then it's going to be an extra, like, $12 for shipping, but all of his prices include shipping as long as you're in the U.S., so.
Right on. Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, so I'm excited to have a new possible supplier for antler stuff because that's one of those things that you can't really – I mean, you can get them all over the place, and I got, like, the water buffalo horn and stuff from Jantz, and they have them, but it's nice to be able to see exactly what you're buying. You know, it's like most places, they're like, this is what you're going to get, but there's variations because they don't take a picture of every single thing. But he's actually taking a picture of everyone. Like, this is what you're going to get. So it's cool.
Right on. Cool.
Yeah. So that'd be fun. I'm excited about doing that project and working on Nicole's knife. I'm like back in the knife zone of life, of creator life, which is always fun. So before we go, there's one last thing I wanted to mention, and this is a little bit of a downer, and it's an unfortunate thing. Aaron, who is Jimmy Duresta's like shop manager, he just passed away unexpectedly.
Mm.
He went into the hospital for like back surgery and was there, and then died a couple days later from some type of complications. It hasn't been posted exactly what happened, but he's been Jimmy's shop assistant and like shop manager for several years. And actually, Jimmy met him at the Maker Camp, the first Maker Camp in 2019.
Yeah.
And he was like out in San Francisco. He also worked on Mythbusters. So he knew like Jamie and Adam. Yeah. And so he was like up in East Durham, and Jimmy said to him, like, hey, if you, you know, he was like a shop guy, whatnot, and he's a Marine. And he said, Jimmy was like, if you move here, like move up to East Durham, you can come use my shop anytime you want. So he did, and then contacted Jimmy a little while later and was like, hey, I'm here. And, you know, and Jimmy's previous kind of shop manager, Brett McAfee, who is from Skull and Spade and has a YouTube channel of his own, he moved out to like Joshua Tree not too long before that. So I think Jimmy was looking for like a new main shop assistant, so he hired Aaron on full time, and he's been working with him since then, and he just passed away. It's crazy. Just makes you, think about life and appreciate the things we have, right? And take advantage of every day that you can.
So. Right, yeah. And like we started out with, count your blessings.
Right, yep, absolutely.
And just, don't worry too much about your issues. There's always someone
Yeah.
going through something worse.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, all those guys that I, you know, I met a bunch of guys that were up at the Timber Inn, and a lot of they've all been posting and reposting and stuff about, you know, condolences for Aaron and his family and friends. So thinking about everybody, and hopefully, you know, everyone can deal with their grief in the way they do and stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, on that note, thank you guys all so much for listening. If you want to support what we do for the podcast and our channel, you guys can always go over to Patreon and support us there. And for those patrons over there, we really, really appreciate it. It makes a big difference, and you've probably seen the difference because we were able to buy new camera and equipment, all sorts of stuff with that patronage, which is really awesome. So thank you guys there. And, you know, you can also obviously go over to Instagram and follow us both there at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy, and head on over to YouTube and help us push that. What video was it? It's about to hit 1 million views.
Oh, the the bow, the orange Osage orange bow, right?
Oh, is it that one? No, it wasn't that one.
Yeah, it was the, no, okay. I think it's the original one.
Let's see, sort by most viewed. Oh yeah, it is. Yep, making the longbow, the Osage orange. Yep, okay. I have it at 999,605. So we have 395 views to go. So if you're listening, you haven't watched that one, it's a good one. I really like bow making, and those videos are really cool. I think that one specifically, I really like that one. I felt really comfortable during that one. So there are like a bunch of scenes in that one where I'm like working and talking, and it feels really natural. So when I notice it, that I look really natural, I know that it's like I must have felt really good.
We're coming up on that time of year. We maybe should get going on another one.
Oh yeah,
I don't know what, but
another ringer.
Yeah,
bow making video is always a good. All right, guys. Well, so go check that out. You know, go over if you haven't already subscribed. Go ahead and give us a subscribe. We always appreciate all that and everything that everybody does for us and listening. And if we don't talk to you next week, we'll talk to you the week after that. But most likely, we'll be back again next week with another podcast. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.